The reading tonight is from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 24. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace."
It is an incredible privilege and an honour to welcome George Verwer back to Highfield this evening. George, I'd like you to join me up here if that's okay. George very generously has brought an enormous number of books, and we're going to talk about those in a second, but there's a load of free books to take and some books to buy as well down in the foyer area before you leave, so make sure you do raid that thoroughly. George, come here, and it's lovely to have you back at Highfields. You have preached here before on a number of occasions, I understand.
Many times.
Yeah, that's great. Now, listen, George, you were the founding director of Operation Mobilisation. Give us a quick summary of the beginnings of that, if you would.
Well, it all happened in a Billy Graham meeting. I'm up from a Christian home. My grandfather was from the Netherlands, was an atheist. And I was one happy teenager. My main thing was girls, money, sports, some of which was, of course, fine. But a woman of God started praying for me, heard about me because everybody in the high school was talking about me and about to be elected president of the student government, and put my name on her Holy Ghost hit list, prayed not only I'd become a Christian, she prayed I'd become a missionary, then sent me a Gospel of John, and that prepared me for a one-night meeting with Billy Graham when he punched me straight in the nose, and I've never recovered. And so Operation Mobilization evolved and really exploded in Europe after I got arrested by the Soviets for smuggling. So Dream Plan 1 went down the tube, and I went for a day of prayer, and God put this nation of Britain on my heart. I had no plan ever to come here. And my goals were Russia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Western Europe, forget it. But God changed all that, gave me the name Operation Mobilization, and sent me to Cambridge University and Oxford, and the Holy Spirit prepared students for major mobilization within the next 2 years. Literally hundreds and hundreds of students mobilized, and quite a few are still on the field today. Old geezers now, but OM is still mainly younger people. Our new leader is absolute dynamite, Matthew Skirton, an English guy who pioneered our work in Moldova. Anyway, when you ask a preacher a question, you get a sermon.
So. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, those of you who are familiar with Highfields will know we have one of our mission partners that works with OM, Sarah Norton, who's working on the Logos ship, operating in kind of ops and looking out for the new arrivals and keeping everything nice and healthy. So that's great. It's obviously been a frustrating, challenging time with COVID, and we can talk about that, but we're going to hand over to you, George. I'm going to pray for you and then leave it over to you. So let me pray. I understand you told me before you're 83 years old, is that right?
Yeah.
It's great to have an 83-year-old in the pulpit, I have to say. And one of the verses which was read out in the reading from Acts 20, I'm going to read it now, pray for you, and then we'll hand over to you, sir. "However," says Paul, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Lord God, we thank you so much for our brother George. We thank you for drawing him to faith in Christ many years ago. We thank you for placing in his heart a desire to see nations won for Christ and the founding of Operation Mobilization. We thank you for thousands of people who have served together with them and the many, many tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people who have heard the gospel through OM's ministry. And we thank you, Lord, that you've enabled him to press on proclaiming and testifying to the gospel of your grace. We need to know more of your grace. We need to know more of your grace tonight. So please speak through your servant, in power, by your spirit. And may he feel at home amongst us. And may you, Lord Jesus Christ, by your spirit, work in power tonight for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you. What a joy to be back in Wales, one of my favorite parts of the planet. Early this morning, I was walking along one of my favorite places along the shore in Tenby, speaking at a little church in West Wales. And especially remember when the ship Lagos Hope was here. My own grandson was working in the engine room. He had just come to know Jesus on the ship. And now he married. He served so well on the ship for 2 years that the Lord gave him a Swiss wife. And I've just been on the phone with him, preparing for ministry there in Switzerland. I don't believe it's an accident we're here tonight. I almost went to heaven 3 months ago as I had major triple heart bypass surgery. And at my age, often the intensive care room is your last location before you move on to glory. So I'm sort of back from the dead, and I've only been able to preach for a month. It's been, of course, I'm doing Zoom every week all over the world. I've been Facebook, and I've never in some ways been so busy in my life. But I don't believe it's an accident we're here together, especially all you younger people. When you're my age, you know, you don't easily talk to young people. You notice even when you walk down the street, they often just jump, go to the other side. And that's a joke, but I really thank the Lord for the privilege tonight. Have you ever had a punch right in the nose? Have you ever been in a fight? I got in a fight with a girl once, and actually almost beat me up, which we don't talk about. But Acts 20:24 that we just read was a punch in the nose. I was a baby Christian. I was struggling. And I was still in business. I sold firefighting equipment. I was traveling across the whole United States and from the New York City area, setting up agents to sell my fire extinguishers. And again, I was a baby Christian, just learning. But I was feeding a lot on the Word of God. Billy Graham was not only the evangelist that led me to Jesus, but his books discipled me. And his radio ministry discipled me. What a privilege years later to meet this man and be with him in his home. And I was in Pittsburgh with my aunt, and I met her mother. She's a really heavy-duty type woman that really went at me about baptism. Have you been baptized? And hardly knew what she was even talking about. But she scared me, so I read the whole book of Acts in one night. And Acts 20:24 became my life verse. You can imagine the joy I have as I'm getting near the end of the race to read that verse and to realize that those words have been a reality in my life pretty well every single day. I want to share a few other verses in God's Word that have been a punch in the nose. Now, some of you, you don't need a punch in the nose. You're loving, gentle people. You just need a lovely tap. So the Lord speaks to you in quiet ways, and you're just on fire for Jesus. I never had any punch in the nose. But there may be some of my temperament here. I can't minister to everybody who, you need to really be punched. You need to be sort of awakened to the reality of the world we're in, the suffering, unbelievable suffering. And it's so sad that often non-Christians are more gripped by suffering than we Christians. But I can tell you, when I went to Mexico at 19 years of age, little knowing we were birthing the whole global short-term movement, and saw the poverty, it completely changed my life. It was a punch in the nose to see children eating garbage that they picked when they sorted through everything that was thrown away. If we knew how much food was thrown away here in Britain every single day, I think it would, give us a heart attack. So that was a punch in the nose experience. So in my life, it's not only been punch in the nose verses, but punch in the nose experiences. Of course, sitting under the ministry of Billy Graham in front of 20,000 people, with this girl that I was totally cuckoo about, wondering what in the world is this about, and then him calling us to get out of our seat and come forward. What? In front of 20,000 people? And then repent. What in the world is that about? Repent. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm about to be elected president of the student government. I'm known for my good deeds around the high school. You know, I'm not even sleeping with my girlfriend. We're just kissing up storms, but we're not going to bed. Well, I don't need this message, but Billy Graham punched me in the nose, and I went forward and began to weep, and I've never been the same ever since. Before I continue, I just, too, want to urge you to pick up books, just as a favor. Last night was a disaster. I preached here. The book thing was a disaster. We were in some location. I guess they couldn't find us. But we love to give away books. Even if you're illiterate, just take one. You'll look like you are literate if you carry a book around. And half the books there are free. We don't want money for those books, including one of my newest books, Messiology, How God Works in Messy Situations, Messy People. And I, at times, have been a messy Christian leader, not in major things, but little things are important with God. And I mistreated my own wife, mistreated my own children at times. Of course, I generally, because of books like Calvary Road, you know, would quickly repent and apologize. By the way, if you're thinking about marriage, remember, marriage generally includes children. And children include grandchildren. And grandchildren can include great-grandchildren. And I've got six of them, and I'm scared stiff of all six of them. But, you know, they're all under four, and that's a dangerous age. So if you get married, you certainly need to count the cost of what's involved. So please visit the book table, Gems of Tozer. What an incredible book. Quotes from his 20 other books, solid gold. Randy Alcorn's Purity Principle. By the way, everybody should have a map of the world. Not everybody can get a global jacket, so forget it. But you can get a map of the world. And, you know, one of my problems as a senior is packaging. If you think I could get into that package and open that in front of me, I guess again. But it's a big map. And an ideal place for it is right over the front of your television. So many people have paid serious money for these maps. It's a gift. So visit the table. Get yourself a map. By the way, if any of you decide to go to Lagos Hope, we are desperate for personnel. People are not exactly wanting to hop around the world during COVID. But praise God, we just had 80 new recruits. But every year, about 80 leave Lagos Hope. And so I'm here as a recruiter. I don't have much time. And anybody here that goes to Lagos Hope for a year, count on me for £1,000. And that will help you get started. Many people, by the way, 25,000 British people have served with OM. And we haven't reached a few hundred thousand. We've reached close to 500 million people with the Word of God across the world, birthing little movements like OM's church movement in India with thousands of churches and 3,000 workers. So those students that launched out of universities and other non-students, what they accomplished, and it continues to this day. In fact, over 200 organizations trace their roots back. 200 organizations. One of them has 15,000 churches. Trace their roots back to coming on Operation Mobilization. So OM is alive and well. I've been out of leadership for 18 years. Let me tell you, the last 18 have been better than the previous leader. 18. I never wanted to be a leader. Leadership can be a real pain. And do pray for your pastor, because churches are very gifted at crucifying pastors, even upside down. But I'm sure it will never happen at Highfield. And if you could know what I've seen in churches, you'd understand why I wrote the book Messiology. So let me give you a few of the other verses that punch me in the nose. One is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. I often expound the whole chapter. It's a worship chapter. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of God. And then there's repentance and brokenness, which is really the message of Calvary Road. Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And then there's an experience of forgiveness. The guilt is taken away. It reads like the book of Romans, But in fact, we're way back there in Isaiah. And then he hears the Lord. He hears the Lord. Here am I. Send me. And he responds. I mean, he hears the Lord say, who will go? And he responds, here am I. Send me. That is, believe me, a punch in the nose verse. I wonder if you've ever had that verse really hit you. In mission conferences, we would always use that verse years ago to get people to become missionaries. Many years ago, I stopped doing that and realized that every believer, even a baby Christian, can pray that prayer. And if you haven't yet prayed that prayer seriously, tonight is your opportunity to pray it, because at the end of my little message, I'm going to give that chance for you to just pray that prayer. It's really, let's make it simple, right? It's a prayer of availability. It's not a prayer of geography. That takes time. That takes discussion with your leaders. That takes preparation, seeking the Lord. But being available, saying, Lord Jesus, I love you, so I'm available. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Surely everyone should pray that. And God hit me with that message when I was only 18. And it changed the course of my life. He hit me especially when I was visiting Grand Canyon on this same trip selling fire extinguishers. We stopped at Grand Canyon. And when I saw the awesomeness of that place, I've been back over 25 since then, 25 times, one of my favorite places on the planet, I just made a radical commitment to go, to be available for global missions. I may have made something smaller before that, but that's the punch in the nose that I remember. Sometimes you get little buffets and you don't remember those so well, but that was a big one. And God met me. God met me. And soon I found myself at Maryville College, a sort of secular type university environment, before I went to Moody. And the story of what God did in my freshman year at university, going to the jail, seeing people come to Christ almost every month, and then getting into the Nashville State Penitentiary as a young 18-year-old kid, and discovering God could use me as a teenager. I don't know if any of you are still teenagers. Some of you look around the 19, and some of you would like to stay 19 for the rest of your life, but it's not going to happen. But God wants to use you when you're a young person. This whole idea that as young people, you just do what you're told, and you get your training, and go to university, and get your degree, and get married, and get a nice house, and get kids, and what is the purpose of all of that? What is the purpose of God creating this world in the first place? God wants you to experience radical grace, to receive his punch in the nose, and to be a radical, total, all-out follower of Jesus. And I believe one of the greatest prayers we can pray is, Lord, here am I, send me. And my first part of that prayer is, Lord, send me across the street. Send me across that street where those Muslims live. Send me across that street where their Hindus live. There are 3 million Muslims in the UK, and there's more every day. OM was partly born because of the vision God gave me for the land of Afghanistan. It's close to 64 years ago. I read Oswald J. Smith's book, maybe one of the other books, and he talked about Afghanistan and shared how completely unreached it was. And I, as a sort of a radical disciple by then of Jesus, I thought, how can this be? I got upset. And I started telling other students. By then I was at Moody Bible Institute. I started telling teachers. I started nights of prayer. I just started kicking up dust. We've got to reach Afghans for Jesus. And then I was sitting in the library of Moody, and I read a research paper on Iraq. Iraq at that time had next to nothing. Again, I get, because I'm an excitable person and an emotional person, I again just got so upset. And God gave me the privilege of starting these prayer meetings where I could share this vision. And OM was really born out of prayer meetings, student prayer meetings. focusing on Iraq, then Iran, then Afghanistan. In those days, all of us were very much in the United States taught to be anti-communist. And so at 16, 17, I was a mega anti-communist. Then Jesus saved me, and he punched me straight in the nose from Romans chapter 12. Love your enemies. We were all taught the Russians are our enemies. Now I'm reading this radical, life-changing, upsetting book that's telling me to love enemies and even bless them and pray for them. And God put the Russian people on my heart. I soon started to study Russian. I found all hatred, all dislike completely disappear. And little did I know, a few years later, I would be in Russia. I managed to get across the border with all this literature hidden. It was really amateur. 2 years later, OM started the most professional smuggling in the history of Eastern Europe. Hundreds of thousands of people, pieces of literature got in through these incredible methods that we developed in vans in which they could not find the literature. But I was Mr. Amateur. I had some of the Gospels in a cornflakes box. I remember when the guard almost went into the cornflakes box and I started coughing or sneezing or distracting him. And so we were so proud we got across the border. Russia for Jesus, two of us. Within 2 days, I made a completely stupid mistake. I don't want to go into details. You can get the film about it, actually. And I was arrested and accused of being an American spy. This is the middle of the Cold War. Americans arrested. They found my little printing press. They found all the books and headlines in the main Soviet paper. American spy arrested in Rovno. It didn't look too bright for the coming days. My wife already back in Madrid. We only just got married, worried to death about her crazy husband. She didn't know what she got into till after the marriage. And somehow, in God's mercy, they let us go back to Austria. And there, God really punched me in the nose again. I was in the top of a tree. I used to love to climb trees. I've given up that in my senior years. And I was in the top of this tree and just praising God. And wham, God hit me with Great Britain. God hit me with Germany. God hit me with France. Before that, I wanted nothing to do with Western Europe. They got churches all over the place. They got all these mission societies, OMF, WEC. They don't need our little group of nobodies. We're going to Iraq. We're going to Afghanistan. Wham! You're wrong, you little... I don't know what he called me, but... he gave me the name. Can you imagine? In the top of a tree. Operation Mobilization. The word had never been used except in military. And God gave me the name and said, you're going to mobilize thousands of Brits and Germans and French who have been killing each other, mainly their sons and daughters, and they're going to reach all of Europe with the gospel. And then it will spill over into Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and those other countries. And he moved me from Spain. I was fluent in Spanish. I don't need to leave Spain. I love the Spanish people. Wham! You're going to Great Britain. And some British Christian leader sent me a letter. We want you to come to this conference in Swanwick. And I agreed to go. And my wife and I came. Our son was only a year and a half. And I went to this conference in Swanwick and fell in love with this nation and fell in love with all you wide range, unusual British people, Welsh and Scottish and French. I'm Welsh and Scottish. That's a good idea. Welsh and Scottish and Northern Irish and all kinds of other people mixed in. And next year I celebrate 60 years of ministering in almost every single part of the British Isles. God's ways are often not our ways. Please don't think that you are going to settle in Great Britain the rest of your life. It's better to pray and be available than to say, Lord, I'm not available. You don't want to tell that to the living God. Lord, I'm not really available. I love you, Jesus. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not available. It's better just to pray, Lord, I'm available. Even if you're scared, you're very aware of your weakness. I still am, but I believe it's the most logical, sensible way to go. Another punch in the nose verse was Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you learned that one, I hope you memorized scripture. That was basic to my spiritual development. But Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. That's stronger than the I send you. Here am I, send me verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not transformed, be not conformed into this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, on a regular basis, I would present myself to Jesus to do whatever he wanted me to do. Even it got to the point of every day doing that, moment by moment. I learned how to redeem the time so I could give maximum time going door to door with Bibles. I sold the fire extinguisher business and started buying Bibles. And I went door to door with Bibles and Christian books in my hometown before I went off to Mexico. And so many powerful experiences, so many amazing friendships. They became the original board of directors when I launched out to Spain and Russia in those early days. God's word, it's powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I wonder, is there any chance in the busyness, even though in lockdown we've all had really extra time, I wonder if any of you, if you're honest, it's so good to be honest. My new book, we don't have copies on the book table, but I'll be happy to send it to you. It'll surely blow your circuits. Confessions of the Toxic Perfectionist. But I bring out how deadly it is to neglect the Word of God. So if you're not in the Word of God, you can't get some of these punches in the nose, which, as we see, turn out to be a blessing, turn out to be God's guidance. And I believe today, when we think of global missions, we need people not to particularly say, I'll go to this country, as it was more in my day, but I'll go to this people. I wonder if there'd even be one person in this church this evening who would say, I will go to the Afghan people. They're here. Brother Andrew, God smuggler, very close friend. I got known as God's bungler because, you know, he was so gifted and I got arrested. But we became friends. If you think I'm wild, just try Brother Andrew. I interviewed him. The blog's gone all over the world. Here he is, a senior citizen. He's 10 years older than me. I said, Brother Andrew, if you could do it all over again, what would you do? I'd be more radical. You know, around that time, I was trying to mellow out. I was trying to get a little more balance, stop offending so many people. And Brother Andrew belts out, I'm going to become more radical. God's amazing way of working. And this is what he said. If we, 10 or 20 years, 30 years ago, if we don't go to the Muslim world, the Lord will bring the Muslims to us. So you wonder why we got 3 million and we're going to have many more, and 1 million Hindus and people from almost every people's group. I minister in a lot of the ethnic churches. It just blows your mind what God is doing, because many of them are believers. And more Afghans are turning to Christ than ever before, even here in this country. In fact, there's one town, they're trying to keep it quiet up in the Midlands, one town where they baptized 80 Muslims. So we need a new generation of young men and women and older ones who focus in on people's groups. You may end up in Afghanistan. I think when you pray this prayer, here am I, send me, you got to be willing to go anywhere. By the way, there's two different modes when we think of going. In OM, a training movement in its early stages, a lot of people went and they received more than they gave. Their lives were transformed. They came back to this country and thousands, tens of thousands of them have been shakers and movers in various ways in the churches here in the UK. Others went and stayed. So, you know, God leads different people in different ways. We don't challenge people to go to our ship because they're going to be on this ship for the rest of their life. It's a 1 or 2 year thing. It's a perfect thing for people that are not really sure what God wants, to get on a ship with constant discipling, hard work, nights of prayer, and all the ingredients to produce disciples. Those who are on the ship right now, about 250 of them, are about to spend 2 weeks on that old ship crossing the Atlantic. Do you think they'll learn anything crossing the Atlantic? Number one, they'll learn how to handle seasick. Whoa. I've had many people tell me, I'm not going on ship because I get seasick. Because you get seasick, you ought to go on the ship. Oh, they can't quite handle that. Well, we just read that passage that the only thing Apostle Paul was being promised was hardships, difficulties, and prisons. Don't run away from hardships, because it's often behind the door of hardship that this blessing. I cannot tell you how much my wife and I have been blessed. I cannot tell you how hyper-fulfilled life I have. Would I be here at still with two full-time jobs sharing this message if I wasn't experiencing the reality and the fulfillment of being a servant of the living God? So after the punch on the nose, there's blessing, there's the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's the reality of Jesus. Surely, surely that's something you want. Another punch in the nose verse is that verse in Timothy. In fact, Timothy is just loaded with dynamite. Beware of those books. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's the favorite thing, isn't it, of this generation? Endure hardship. How many of you, what's your one of your life verses? Raise your hand. I've got 100 pound in my pocket. If you're honest and you say your life verse is to endure hardship for Jesus Christ. Well, I don't see any hands, but I know you're quiet people. You want time to meditate and think about it more at home. No doubt you'll send me an email. That verse has hit me again and again because I have a lazy streak, because also I'm subject to constant discouragement, and I've struggled all my life with an eye for the girls. I just picked up this book by Bill Perkins, the first chapter. Why are naked women so good to look at? Think of the guts he had to put that. I've written a bit about sex, and I never say anything like that. In all my life, that's been my struggle. And at 16, I moved into the world of pornography. And I can tell you, Jesus did a miracle in my life. And I've been able to walk a life of purity and be totally faithful to my wife these 61 years. Not in perfection. And I've been knocked about through porno magazines I've found on the toilet. By the way, in the day in which everybody gets it on their phone and their laptop, these magazines, which are my weakness, I've never seen one image on my laptop, and I'm 7 hours a day on that. But my day, it was these magazines, and it was usually just super attractive women dressed in a way that any normal human being is going to have some kind of a reaction. And I failed a number of times. One of those magazines I even found in a tree in the woods in London. I won't tell you that story, but I thank God for repentance and forgiveness. And things like that, any major weakness, failure in your life, can either make you or break you. But I can tell you that weakness, that struggle, has helped make me the man that somehow God could use. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. That's been the theme of this conference that's been going on here in the last couple of days, which is my original reason for coming here. And I just pray that if you're having failure in the sexual area or any other area, the greatest mistake is to allow that to discourage you. Yes, it's a punch in the nose. You're down. You feel you've failed, especially people like me who aim high and get caught up in the world of perfection. Beware of the destruction of perfectionism, in which you naturally end up putting yourself down or putting other people down. And allow the radical grace of Jesus to grip you. If you know my recent books compared to my older books, and I don't think I put anything in any of my books that I have to particularly deny, but in my recent book, you'll get some amazing stories of radical grace and of forgiveness and the way God works. To summarize all this, not so easy. I'm sure I've confused some of you, but I pray that through the confusion, God may say something to you. And surely he's trying to say, I brought you here to this meeting tonight to listen to this semi-crazy speaker. The last time I saw Luis Palau, you know, I'm preaching at All Souls Church. Oh, that's pretty important. And I walked down the aisle, and Luis Palau, the great evangelist, was in the congregation. He's now in heaven. And his last word to me before he went to heaven as I walked down the aisle, you're crazy. Well, it's not an accident that somehow you're here tonight with this crazy preacher. But I believe God wants to give you a punch in the nose. And I believe God wants you to say, Lord, I'm available. I'm available. Here am I. Send me. Let us pray. Let us just bow our heads for a few moments and search our own hearts. Are we experiencing radical grace? Are we really committed to these Muslims and Hindus and others all around us? Are we really available to go where he wants us to go and do what he wants us to do? I want to ask you, if you'll pray that prayer, here am I. Here am I. Send me. It's a prayer of availability. You're not sure where it leads, but you want to take at least that step to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm available. If you'll pray that prayer, I want to pray specifically for you. And I'd ask you just to stand up. Just like Billy Graham called me to make a decision, though this is very different, I'm asking you to stand up where you are and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. It's a step of faith. Some of you have been listening to so many messages over the years and through this time of history, through Zoom, through all the communication, and the word is clear. Don't be a hearer of the word, be a doer. And so I'm asking you to do something, to make a step of faith, to be a radical disciple, to say I'm available, and to pray, here am I, send me. If you'll pray that prayer, I'm not going to call you forward, but I want you to stand up. And I want to pray a prayer of consecration. I have 100,000 people who pray for me. Thousands of them are praying for me even tonight. God wants to do something. He wants to do something in you. He wants to use you. And this is a step in the right direction. God bless you. If anyone will pray that prayer, here am I. Send me. Please stand. Forget what anybody else may think. Please stand and say, in your heart, here am I, send me. God bless you. God bless you. It takes a few minutes as people want to think, but I believe God has prepared many of you. This is not about joining OM. This is not about becoming a missionary. This is about your relationship with the living Jesus. Here am I, send me. Anyone else, please stand to your feet. Young people, older people. God bless you. Father, you know everything about us, and you love us still. Your forgiveness is overwhelming. You know even the lukewarmness of our own hearts. You know the deception of our own minds, and yet you love us. And I pray, Lord, that in the weeks to come, all of us may receive this punch in the nose and take that step of faith to be the men and the women you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.